Here we go. Let's go ahead and...
Yeah, I realized it right as we started. Ryan looks up and goes, no? All right, 3, 2, 1. Now let's do it.
Great.
Welcome to the pod!
What is up, everybody? This is The Quad with Chris Young. As always, I'm Chris. We got Haley the Bear.
Hello, hello.
Producer Josh.
Do we leave that blooper in at the beginning, or do we just cut it for the sake of...
So, and Ryan from Miami, who is where? Where are you?
Middle of Western New York, you know, okay. Somewhere okay. Where they don't like the Dolphins very much.
He'll probably edit...
For the video
later, but
I might keep the audio part of it.
Yeah, for those of you guys, if we decide not to keep it,
it's a moot point at that point. But we start every episode, we have to do a clap, a slate for the video so that we can, so Monsell can sync the video and audio together.
We may have forgotten to do that.
Ran right through that one, didn't I?
Just like, here we go. Just kidding. Start over.
Happy Monday, everyone.
Happy Monday. Obviously, always happy to be here with you guys. Ryan, do you know what the poll is?
We didn't put a poll up last week.
I know. I just wanted to say if I could get you.
Good save.
Well, so here's the funny thing. When you sent out the rundown today or yesterday, I had my heart fluttered. I was like, oh my God, I forgot to post the poll. So I go to the Twitter account and I'm like, wait a minute. Am I being tricked here? Am I being played? Yes.
Yeah.
So you're keeping me on my toes. I like it.
I always keep that in the rundown for us. But yeah, I had to give you a little joke there, especially after I forgot to slate at the beginning. Let's go straight to music.
Music.
We do not have a chart update today, I don't believe. I think it'll be tomorrow. But I am getting ready to go to Alaska.
Alaska, you say?
I very much am dreading that flight because it's really funny on one of the grids that we have to kind of like keep everything in line with like where my shows are. It shows all the routing. And there's just one way over here on the map. But it's going to be awesome. I've never been before, and I don't know how I'm going to do with the fact that it's like all sunshine right now.
It's no nighttime.
Yeah, no nighttime whatsoever. But
it's like 21 hours, I think. So I think you have 3 hours of nighttime.
Cool.
A nap.
Awesome. But I'm very much looking forward to the shows and checking that off as my very last state in the U.S. that I've not played. So I did a couple interviews. Everybody seems to be really excited. We're going up there. So if you live in Alaska, we're heading your way and come hang out with us.
Have you scheduled any fishing or anything like that? Sorry.
Oh, I'm definitely going to try to get some fishing in. Even if I just
ice fishing,
like,
do they ice fish in the summer?
Well, I mean, it's still
believe
cold,
it or not, they still have fish in the river when it's not frozen. Right?
They said the fishing is really good right now, evidently. Well, at least one of the places we're going, because that did come up on my radio call.
Well, then you definitely need to bring me back some fish.
Just bring back fish for everyone. You're like, here. I have for you a fish. I present it to you.
It's delicious bass. Thank you.
That sounded weird because that's...
I think he did that on purpose.
Brian's name. Was that intentional? Was it?
Maybe.
What were you getting ready to ask,
I prefer trout. So I have to out our good buddy Monsell because I was sitting next to him as he was trying to purchase flight tickets to Anchorage, Alaska for the show. He used ChatGPT to come up with a list of things to do in Anchorage, Alaska, for the record. So, ChatGPT giving Monsell his suggestions on what to do in Alaska.
Well, and we are going to try to just capture as much content as possible while I'm up there because, you know, it's taken me 38 years to get up there for the first time. I don't know when the next time's going to be. So,
are you going to see the Northern Lights? That would be pretty cool. Northern Lights are something you have to like check out if you're up there.
All right. Normally I am a wealth of random information. You have now asked me two things that I don't know because I don't go to Alaska. You're like, do they have ice fishing right now? I'm like, I don't know. Will you see the Northern Lights? Maybe. Maybe we'll fake some Northern Lights at the back of a video. I don't know. I just know I'm going to have a good time while I'm up there. So,
that's really exciting.
Yeah.
I've never been to Alaska.
I may be very, like, off schedule-wise when I come back for next week.
For sure. Yeah, I think it's Alaska and Hawaii are the two I've never been to. Forget playing. I haven't played in a lot of states, but I've never been to.
Hawaii's cool, too.
Well, Hawaii was the one place I thought I was never going to make it, and I finally made it. I'm happy I went. But Alaska was probably going to be up there, too, because I'll have absolutely zero reason to go to Alaska.
You never know.
Unless it's for hunting, which is also absolutely ridiculous to try and get to hunt up there. So
let's do, are you ready for what are you listening to? Do you have anything that's new?
We start tour rehearsals tomorrow, so I am.
You'll be like locked in a room.
Locked into a room, staring at Ableton, just making edits and
great.
And building the show out for
great
for this summer. But yeah, we do a week's of rehearsals here, and then a week up with the rig just outside of Nashville.
Yeah,
and then it's off to the races this summer.
Cool. Yeah, I mean we're all going to be rocking for the summer now, but
yeah, I suspect for our listeners and our viewers there may be a few more Zoom pods this summer than we normally do because we're all going to be
in different places
a lot.
Yeah, you know what, we'll make it work.
It's okay
as long as we can get the content to you guys. That is all we're worried about.
It's the only thing that matters is you listening at home. You're the only thing that matters to us,
you guys.
Insert man on poster.
I am going to need a second for the first time because I had one and then I was like,
whoa.
I know.
I'll go first then.
Okay.
So this week, the song I am choosing is Backseats and Burnt CDs by Ryan Griffin.
Okay.
I like it. I like it a lot. He has a couple of few good songs, but let's go with that one for this week.
Ryan?
So there was a throwback session happening a couple of days ago here in Western New York of music, and one of the ones that I put on that I loved from my childhood that my dad used to blast when I was in the car, Night Moves by Bob Seger, baby.
Seger, come on.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
I'm here for it. Mine this week. I've picked this song before, but not this version of it. It is Range Rover by Ben Rector, his version. However, yes. He put out a live version featuring Stephen Day and Jordy Searcy, where they do it all a cappella, like a barbershop. It's a trio because there's only three of them, not a quartet. And it is delightful.
Okay.
Interesting.
I'll check that out. I don't think I've ever heard that.
No. It just came out like very recently.
So it was like just dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Man, okay. Got to make a decision. I'm going to go just because I saw this pop up. Hurt, but the cover, the Johnny Cash version.
Great.
It's a very, very heavy song, obviously. But I just think that is one of those things where it was like, I don't know who got in the room and went, this one, we're going to do this one. I don't know how that recording came about, but it's really, really different and very interesting. And obviously that was, you know, I think, was that his last?
That was his last song.
It was his last record. Well, his last record that he put out.
Yeah.
Last record.
I just remember people being like, oh, I felt like it was like a pre, what word am I looking for?
I don't know.
Like a precursor to his death?
Is that what he died shortly after.
That I
don't think he was telegraphing anything on that, but it brings up an interesting point that maybe we turn into a hot take. I don't know if we've done this, but songs that the cover is better than the original.
We've done that before. Yeah. Okay. Although that is a good one to add in there. Plus we're getting ready to do something sort of
similar.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to sports.
Sports.
Golf is weird. Did you guys see the putt on 18 where the ball just like wasn't even a like crazy long putt? Just drops in, comes right back out the hole.
It's like the groundhog just punched it back out.
Yeah, yep. He's like, nope, not here, not today, buddy.
How does that happen?
I don't know. It like obviously it had to have like ricocheted off the edge, but it's not like he hit it with like some crazy amount of speed.
Was this what day was this? Because I didn't. Was this the final round?
This was, day three. Yeah, this was no.
Was that
I thought
day
it
four?
Was. I thought it was day four. It was the final round. Hmm. And then obviously there's, you know, only ever been one round of 62, and the very first day, two people go out and shoot 62, and neither one of them win the tournament.
Yeah, and then Tommy Fleetwood shoots a 64, I think, in his final round. It doesn't even crack the top five. Like it was a pretty nutty weekend in golf.
It's wild.
Three hole in ones on the same hole.
Yeah, which was awesome. By the way, shout out to Wyndham Clark winning his first ever major. Yes. Really cool story. This is a guy who in 2013, his mother died from breast cancer. He was at Oklahoma State as a college golfer. He actually contemplated quitting the game of golf, transferred to Oregon, ended up turning pro, won his first ever professional win last month. And then now wins his first major, like an incredible story. It was there for the taking for Rory McIlroy, by the way, but it is a really cool story for Wyndham Clark to be able to win it.
I was going to say, did Clark par the last hole or bogey the last hole to win?
Clark parred the entire final round. So like there was an opportunity for Rory there, and Rory, he actually bogeyed. I think it was 15. The only bogey by a player at 15 on Sunday, and yet Rory still couldn't come back to overtake him.
I got to be honest. Normally, I watch these very closely. Most of the information that I've gotten is either like short clips or just like the announcement at the end of it. I didn't really watch too much of this tournament. I did hear about all the drama with them like not giving the tickets to anybody but primarily sponsors, which is just kind of wild.
LA, right? LA Country Club. Okay. Yeah. You know that area, Josh. You know, it's kind of swanky, you know.
It is a very private club in which celebrities aren't really even allowed to be members. You have to be like in an industry and a CEO or owner of something. Your dues when you sign up are $250,000. That is not your yearly. That is just your fee to be a member.
Oof.
Yikes.
Brooks Koepka, by the way, blasted the LA Country Club. Like, was like, I am not a fan of this course.
I was trying to open the door for our resident, like, sports news guy to, like, walk through. And you were just, like, standing on the other side of the open doorway staring at me for a second. I was like, well, I'm setting you up. Go.
I eventually made my way through. But Brooks has said of that course, he said, I'm not a huge fan of blind tee shots. Then I think there's just some spots that no matter what you hit, the ball just ends up in the same spot. He says, I think it would be more fun to play on just like a regular round than it would be a U.S. Open.
Ooh. Yikes.
This is somebody who's made a living winning U.S. Open. So
there was a lot of pushback. They've already awarded the country club another major in like 2036. So,
I mean, they probably made a bunch of money.
100%. But they do need to fix the ticket situation. The vibe was very weird. There wasn't quite the like
that golf, like cool, chill vibe,
especially for the U.S. Open, which like usually has a lot of like just this isn't Augusta. This is just a normal event that most people will go to. And so you can have the hometown heroes and their families, et cetera, that are there cheering them on. And it just didn't have any of that.
It didn't put out that vibe. And then also go ahead, Ray.
No, I was just going to say, we're starting to see the effect of LIV Golf's, before the merger, push on PGA Tour, because this was the largest purse ever awarded in U.S. Open history, at $20 million.
And I mean, you do have to walk that fine line of, we can give you more money, but it may be, a little more corporate here and there, at which that I think everyone has to do that. I mean, that's why... That's why corporate gigs exist.
Correct.
For like musicians and people. I don't know if you get,
yep.
Like maybe you played something for Walmart recently.
And they talked about their yearly earnings and it was a number that would shock you.
No way. Walmart.
Yeah. That's a lot of money.
Shout out to Walmart, by the way. We love you.
Yeah, we love you. We love you. I had a great time. Thank you guys so much.
You know what? While we're giving shout outs, I know I alluded to it. You guys have broken me for any other water. I will actively look for core water everywhere I'm at now. I'm like, I gotta have it.
I bought a core water and he drank some.
Say it again.
And he goes,
say it into the camera.
Yes, I know.
All right, now we have to take this clip and send it
core
to Core
water. Yeah, it like for my work, even for like workouts.
I know.
I'm
it's
like,
so
all right,
refreshing.
I went to a second place the other day just so I could get core water.
It is not only delicious and appropriately pH balanced for your body. As someone who struggles with drinking enough water in the day, I can chug these bottles. There's something about it that I'm just like, this is great. This is what my body needs. And we love you for it.
We do. See,
and we would love for you to be a part of this.
Josh is like smiling like a little kid. I don't know if you can tell, Rye, just how happy he is right now.
It's one thing for me to hype it up, but when a massive celebrity to my right talks about this, this is where we can get the ball rolling. This is it. This is our year.
All right, well, we're going to do it.
Check out their three new flavors, grapefruit, lemon,
I was about to
and
say,
cucumber.
I want to try their lemon and cucumber waters.
That's amazing. All right.
Was that our enough?
That was good. You nailed it.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the downfall of the Miami Heat.
Oh.
Since, that was last Monday night and we haven't got to talk about it yet.
We didn't really lean super into that. Although, if you'd like to talk about something else, how about that Bradley Beal?
How about that Bradley Beal? Where would we like to start first? Ryan, would you like to in memoriam of the 2023 Miami Heat?
Sure.
Jimmy
sure.
Buckets, we love you.
Jimmy Butler had a historic NBA playoff run prior to game 6 against the Boston Celtics. And didn't really look the same. Look, I cannot be mad with where this season finished. While in the heat of the moment, obviously I'm upset for I think the Miami Heat have now lost 3 consecutive NBA Finals appearances that they've been in. We were right there and it was a historic run for an 8 seed that shouldn't have been in that position to begin with. You lose your first play-in game. You're nearly going to lose your second to the Chicago Bulls, and yet you reel off a run beating the number one team in the East. You take down the Knicks, a longtime rival, and then nearly blow a 3-0 series lead, but escape that to win Game 7 in Boston. Look, I'm happy with the way they played. I think they're still a superstar away, and Josh and I were talking about this. They have to make some sort of move to get a complimentary superstar, because as good of an NBA Finals as Bam had, he's not it. He's not that guy. They were without Tyler Herro. I don't think even having Tyler Herro on the court would have put them over the top there. So
I think
congrats to Denver.
Tyler Herro as a piece.
Bingo.
I think so too. I think maybe to acquire a Damian Lillard, which I'm sure we're going to talk about that in a minute. But congrats to Denver. I do find it incredibly comical that the greatest player on the planet was mum about winning what is the ultimate prize, basically being like, I just want to go back to Serbia. I don't really care about participating in a parade, and it's just my job. Who cares if I win? It was kind of funny.
So I do have to say, That was highly disappointing to me. It's like, I get, he's like, hey, I did my thing. It's been a long season. But, I mean, you won.
Even he's bored by his own greatness.
And he, yeah, but it's, that's not, first of all, that is not, did you say it's the culture?
Well, I said
it's like the opposite of the Miami Heat. They're like, ah, we won, whatever. Let's go home.
My boss was Serbian. So
No. You just won the biggest thing you can win at your sport. Even Nick Saban is happy in the moment when he wins. Like, I get it, but he's like, oh, I don't want to do a parade. I'm like, man, come on.
In fairness, once he was at the parade, he really, really loved the parade and got on the mic and said, I'm never leaving this effing parade. So,
yes.
To me, it reads, I hear what you guys are saying, and I don't disagree, because it feels a little forced. It feels a little like...
You can look at it from the other direction, where it's like, oh, it's endearing, because he is just this very sort of different style thinker than what we normally see from someone where they're like, yeah, I'm the... Like,
But
I'm the greatest in the world. Right, anything is possible.
Right. Like, yeah. And I don't know how much of this is like, remember Tim Duncan? Tim Duncan wasn't particularly like, oh, I did it. He was just like, great team win. I love all my guys. Let's try to do it again. Let's win one every other year.
Yes. There's never been anyone who won the NBA Finals and was like, ugh, I don't want to really celebrate it tomorrow.
Well, he didn't even know there was a parade. That's the best thing. He was like, wait, a parade?
I have to laugh because Vice did a parody article, which is just comical. And the title of it is Employee of the Month Rewarded with More Work. And here's the first graph of it. A Denver area worker was shocked and saddened to learn Monday evening that, in line with American tradition, his employer was requiring him to work more additional hours as a result of being identified as one of the organization's top performers of the year.
That's pretty
Jokic,
incredible.
Jokic, a Serbian tradesman who commutes to the U.S. for work, had previously believed he had logged his final workday of the season on Monday when he completed the final task of his to-do list. He was then informed he was required to stay in the Denver area until Thursday for a company celebration tied to his team's performance in the most recent quarter. This is great.
I'm shocked that they didn't somehow loop in like the big trend where like corporations are getting dunked on. They're like, you did a great job. We got you a pizza party.
It's a pizza party.
I'm surprised they didn't try to go that route.
Casual Thursday.
Exactly. Oh,
Do you think any of this is blowback? So Jokic was picked last by LeBron in the All-Star game. Do you think that this is him just being anti LeBron, like, look at me, I deserve this, whatever, and him just going like, hey, you want to crap on me? I know I'm better than you. Let me just be the exact opposite from you as possible.
I can see that.
You still get it, man. Celebrate the win.
I think it was weird that he left the finals MVP like in the equipment closet.
Doesn't even know
like,
where it is.
I don't know where it is. That was a little
weird.
That was a little weird.
Come on. That's all I'm saying. I'm not anyone that this is like the first, because this is the first time your team wins this, like they've never won one before, have they?
No, this is the first time in franchise history.
Yeah. So that, I mean, like, I'm not trying to be like, you can celebrate your win however you want to, obviously. But it just almost, like you said, seemed a little bit forced where it's like,
it did. Now, if they win two more over the next 4 or 5 years.
Oh, then you're like, okay.
You're going to look back and be like, Mamba mentality. This is what Kobe would have done. Job's not finished
until I win three. Imagine how bored he's going to be then. Imagine how bored he's going to be with like back-to-back titles. Like,
All right. Job's not finished. You're acting like he said that right after he won a title. There's not videos of him crying holding the trophy.
Sure. I'm just saying. Revisionist
history. I wanted
that
moment.
That is one of the things
you look forward to in sports is you want
the human
to see
moment.
Them be like, look, we did it. This is amazing. You want to see them like jump up and hug each other.
Go ahead.
I watching the game, he did show a lot of emotion on the sidelines when it came to things that were leading up to him winning.
The sidelines?
Mm-hmm. I said sidelines. Yeah. Side of the court.
If you're looking for that experience, watch Jamal Murray, because this is a dude that had to overcome so much, a horrific knee injury, thinking they're going to trade him, to then coming back and getting to win a championship. And that dude was in his feels for sure.
Yeah.
And by the way, the line on Jokic to lead the NBA finals in assists was like minus 20,000 or some crazy number like that. And it was Murray who led the NBA finals in assists, which is would have been a great bet.
But would it have been a great bet? Because what was he minus? You left that part out.
Yeah.
Numbers.
Numbers. Okay.
Now, to say what you say, Bradley Beal just traded from the Washington Wizards to the Phoenix Suns for Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, and 2 second-round picks. This is a fleecing. This is a fleecing by.
Yeah, what happened to the Wizards?
The Phoenix Suns and what Bill Simmons from The Ringer has called new owner syndrome, which is a new owner comes into the league and then they want to make a splash as quickly as possible. I don't think this makes their team any better, to be honest. Bradley Beal has not
any better.
Whoa.
Brad,
he led the NBA in scoring last year.
On a terrible, you can lead this. You can average
every
20
single shot. Yeah.
You can average 25 points a game if your team is terrible and you can just jack up shots. Look at the player efficiency rating first.
Which also, I would challenge you, anyone outside of one of you two guys, or like anyone that just looked at that stat, if you ask 99% of NBA fans, they're probably not going to know that it was him.
Also, to look at it, he did it exactly on a contract season so that he could get his supermax, which would then allow him to secure the bag. I don't trust players. Go ahead. When was that? What was that?
You were wrong.
You mentioned the player efficiency rating. I just want to read to you his ranking and player efficiency rating because this is pretty bad. Okay, so he is 44th, Bradley Beal is, in the all-encompassing player efficiency rating, just ahead of Daniel Gafford of the Washington Wizards as well, and just behind Jarrett Allen, Robert Williams III, and Mark Williams. I don't even know who Mark Williams is. And a couple of spots ahead of Mason Plumlee.
Yep. Mark Williams plays for
Charlotte.
That's right. I was going to say Detroit. Meanwhile, those two people ahead of Bradley Beal are centers who shoot like 65% from the field every night because they're not taking jump shots.
Yeah. Oof.
So this doesn't... The way to win is to have very highly efficient players in multiple spots. Okay. This is how the NBA is won. Jamal Murray is a highly efficient player. Nikola Jokic is a highly efficient player. KCP is a highly efficient player. This is how you win, right? Taking more shots when you already have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker is now just giving you a very, very overpriced spot up shooter in the corner. And maybe he hits more than Landry Shamet. Maybe he does. I don't know. But also, Bradley Beal has not exactly been a pinnacle of health for the last 5 years. So, what are you really getting? Also, who's playing point guard for this team?
I don't know, but... I mean, it's the end of Chris Paul's chances to...
Chris Paul will get bought out by the Washington Wizards and will likely sign with the Clippers or the Lakers. That is
okay.
That's what.
So maybe he does have like one more
shot.
He has
one more shot to make it happen.
Okay,
but he could finally end up on the Lakers like 15 years after David Stern blocked that deal. That'd be pretty great.
Correct. Yeah, and that seems more likely than the Clippers. But I don't know his relationship with that franchise post the trade. So CP will get probably one more shot at this.
Okay,
but we'll see.
But hey, by the way, baseball's going on. Only sport going on right now. Just so you know.
Royals, worst team in the league. Let's go.
How are the Cubs?
We had a good game the other day, but we're still pretty far behind. Like
Ryan?
If you look at the top of the power rankings, there's been one team that's been at the top of the power rankings since beginning of April, and that would be your Tampa Bay Rays.
I didn't ask about power rankings. What's your record?
51-24. The only 50-win team in baseball.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's Cubs, the stat. Mm.
That's the better stat.
Cubs is not dead last, but we're right above the Cardinals and right below the Pirates.
I think the Royals won 19 games so far.
Oh,
I actually do have 19 wins. I do want to reiterate one more thing because we say it each and every time. Shohei Ohtani is something to marvel at. And I just wish, I really hope during baseball season now that basketball's over and hockey's over, that more people get an opportunity to watch this guy play, because it is, he is not only leading Major League Baseball in home runs, but is one of the best pitchers in the game. It's pretty incredible what he does on a daily basis.
Yes, agreed.
But no one's going to see it until he gets signed by the Dodgers or the Yankees.
Or the Yankees. Yeah,
I think we've acknowledged last year that Shohei Ohtani is absolutely incredible, but
no one cares because it's Anaheim.
Yeah, unfortunately.
L.A., I guess, technically. No, yeah. They're in a playoff spot, though. They might actually make the playoffs for the first time with Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani there. So,
what an accomplishment for your franchise.
Yikes. What's up with you and the stats you're picking out today?
They just might actually make the playoffs.
It was a great bet because the one that didn't win was -20,000. Well, what was the other one?
Really reaching.
I do want to make another funny stat. So the Royals, you mentioned, have the worst record in baseball. They're 19-52. They're 16 and a half games back in the AL Central.
Wait. Stop. So now you're trying to take the stat that I have to say, which is, what's interesting is, I knew you were going to try to rip this stat before I could get to it. The worst team in the AL East has a better record than the Twins, who are leading the AL Central.
AL Central.
That's a better stat. That's a better stat than I was going to give. Yeah, that's actually pretty good.
We try hard. Games that's are fun slogan. At the K. It's a great time.
I did. By the way, there's a lot. The Twins, the Guardians, the Tigers, the White Sox, and the Royals. I'm not trying to like.
They're all bad.
Dunk on, you know. That's the second time I've used that phrase. I need to.
31 and 42.
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance to see a game at the K, it's a wonderful time.
It's a beautiful park.
I'm going in less than a month for Rays and Royals. By the way, I do love the slogan of "Come watch us, we try hard." That's a great slogan. I love that.
The games are fun.
You can get tickets pretty cheap at your local Hy-Vee or Price Chopper. Please.
Your Hy-Vee. Go ahead. What were you going to say about the Cubs? I didn't know if you were looking up a stat.
I was just trying to see if the Cubs were ahead of the White Sox, and we are.
Okay. All right.
Congratulations.
Yay.
By two games.
Let's go to movies. Movies. Oh, man.
A little life hack. If you want to see your favorite baseball team play against the Royals,
go watch the Royals.
The tickets are so cheap. You can probably just walk in and sit like third baseline.
I was also laughing because while you guys were we're trying to just stat dump all over everyone, I looked up the movie for this week to do the rundown of it, The Flash, and I looked down and the trailer that's playing was of the movie, but then I was like, nine seasons of and that. I'm like, oh, even when you type that in, the TV show comes up first. And I had to type in The Flash movie to get it to bring that up. Because I thought, I was like, that Rotten Tomatoes score seems higher than what I remember. And it was because it's
critically acclaimed.
So, this is also a very long description. You know, some of these movies, it's like four sentences. Worlds collide when the Flash uses his superpowers to travel back in time to change the events of the past. However, when his attempt to save his family inadvertently alters the future, he becomes trapped in a reality in which General Zod has returned, threatening annihilation. With no other superheroes to turn to, the Flash looks to coax a very different Batman out of retirement and rescue an imprisoned Kryptonian, albeit not the one he's looking for. Box office of $139 million so far, which is a bit misleading because I think that's global box office. Everyone that's posted about it has been like, not good numbers.
Yeah.
Gonna lose money. Doesn't bode well for a lot of the characters that you end up getting to meet in this particular setting in the universe. And a lot, you know, just to address it, you know, the lead in the movie didn't do any interviews with the press leading up to this because he's had some
run-ins with the law.
He's had some issues outside of
his profession.
That is the best way to put that.
Very nice way of saying that.
I have to be 100% honest. I went with a big group of people. There were some people that were like, eh, not for me. There were some people that were like, it's good. I firmly expected to be in the camp of, man, I liked this because I got to see Keaton.
Sure.
I really liked it. I really did. I think just the way that they handled it was cool from a CGI perspective. I thought there's so many callbacks. There's a bunch of stuff that I thought they had given everything away because they had, you know, people knew that. And
time for some spoilers.
Thank you for that.
So many spoilers I want to give away.
You saw me just getting uncomfortable trying to dance around it.
I just say it.
Yeah, these are minor spoilers. I'm not even going to go into the big ones because you guys haven't seen it yet. And correct. I think you'll probably watch it at some point. Obviously, you knew Keaton was going to be in it as Batman.
Would that have been better as a reveal and not put it in the trailer? Or did that, do you think that drove people to it?
There's other really good reveals.
Yeah, there's so many other callbacks and like allusions to other things. And the one that I was looking forward to as well, this has already been spoiled everywhere. Like they've talked about this one, but it was not revealed early on. There's an infamous story that Kevin Smith tells about when, and maybe some people don't know this or are aware of it, but there was a Superman movie getting pitched that was going to be helmed by Tim Burton. And he went in and basically was like, well, the script doesn't make any sense. And they're like, well, we'd like to bring you in to help do rewrites on it. And it like evolved into this story of him talking about when he was going through the script, and they're like, okay, I don't want to see him in the suit. He's like, what? He goes, yeah, we don't want to see him in the suit. I don't want to see him fly. And then at the end, he has to fight a giant spider. And he's like,
was this Superman or was this Batman?
No, this is Superman.
Oh, I thought it was Batman.
He was like, no, this is Superman. He was like,
I know this story though. Yeah.
Let's go back. He goes, one, like the suit and the flying is kind of
his thing.
Superman. But he goes, what, why a giant spider? And he goes, well, you know, I remember I saw King Kong when I was a kid and like the doors open up and I guess like his whole thing was he just wanted Superman to fight this giant entity where it is just kind of like the only way to sort of make Superman in a David versus Goliath situation, I think was the whole principle. But it was just wild. And the guy that they had cast to play Superman was Nicolas Cage. Now, some of you are like, why are you going on and on about this? You're supposed to be talking about The Flash. Well, there is a part in this, and obviously there's multiversal theory that is used to bring in a lot of cameos. They do a clip, and there's sort of CGI, sort of not, where it's like, at one point they're looking at another world.
There's a bunch of cameos in
there. It is Nicolas Cage
as Superman
fighting a giant spider, and I was like, "Oh my god,
it's awesome!"
And the directors talked about this. That's why I was like, I don't feel bad spoiling that one, but there's so much more.
And you know the ending of that story, correct?
Mm-hmm.
That ended up not getting made.
No, it did not.
And bits of that script ended up in a completely different movie called Wild Wild West, which is, if you wonder why they're fighting a giant
spider,
mechanical spider at the end of that movie, you now know why.
That's hilarious.
Oh, man.
But I'm also with Chris on this. I really like this movie. And that was me going into it being a huge Grant Gust fan in the TV series. And I was like,
is it Grant Gust or
Grant Gust?
Grant Gust?
Yes, Grant Gust.
So it is not, because every time I say this, I mess his name up. I say Gustin, like Justin with a G.
Oh,
so
no.
I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay.
But so I was going into it like, there's just no way this is gonna do it for me, and it did. It 100% did. And I, give or take everything going on with Ezra, he really actually did do a good job portraying the Flash and the characters that he had to do. Because obviously there's two of him in there between the...
Yeah, that's in a trailer, too. I mean, that's not a surprise.
But all that, there were so many little Easter eggs that were everywhere that I was just like, there, it's, that.
How was Keaton?
He was awesome.
He was fantastic.
He was exactly that. I was going to see that movie, one, because I love anything Marvel or DC, and you guys know that. If you've ever listened to this podcast, you've heard me talk about the fact that I'm just a huge comic book fan. And
did just feel like a warm hug. You're like, oh, there's my guy again.
There's just so much I want to say that I'm not going to say until you see it. And
okay,
I'm sorry, the one I saw it in the trailer and did not care. It was still an awesome moment when he just goes, yeah, I'm Batman.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's just all I wanted. My inner comic book nerd.
Do you feel
screamed.
Like he re-grabbed the belt as the goat Batman now? Because now it's...
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm not going to say anything else until you see this movie.
You have to. You absolutely have all to right. see this movie. And I will say, we had one friend who was like, gosh, there's just too much CGI. I'm so over watching CGI. And I'm like, unfortunately, that's going to be all movies moving forward. There's going to be so much CGI in these types of movies.
Yeah, it's just how you use it.
Well, and the other thing, too, is it's like, I don't know if you're aware, but there was kind of a lot going on the past several years in the world. A lot of the stuff that's now coming out was getting made. Some of it's just going to have to be CGI'd in there. Yep. So I don't know. I liked it.
I really, really liked it, too.
Do you think this bodes well for DC moving forward? This is a good one.
Well, that's a much deeper dive that I don't even think we have time for on this podcast today.
Well, I am curious because they did have an ending credits scene, considering we don't know what's going to happen moving forward with the Flash. And the ending credits scene makes zero sense. There's only one thing I can take away from it, so I really need you guys to watch it. Josh, I want you to see it because I want you to tell me what you think about it, because there's only one takeaway I can get from it.
I actually... have a takeaway on it, but again, I don't want to ruin that until you see it, but there's a lot of discussion right now with the fact that someone that made one of your favorite franchises of all time, Guardians of the Galaxy, just basically went over and now picked up the mantle for DC. And the problem was there were these three or four movies that were already in the can that they were like, look, this is how we're resetting parts of the universe and this is how we move forward. And now you've got two new people coming in as heads leading the charge, and they're going to want to do things their way. There was actually discussion about some of the things that were shot. I don't even know if you know this. There were shots of certain characters with other characters that they cut because they don't want those characters in the movies moving forward. So they were already in the can.
Yeah.
And they removed them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because like from the Justice League, I guess.
It's just a lot.
It was. I'm about to get
Can't wait for DC to be Guardians of the Galaxy 4 through 12. Sounds great.
What movie are we doing this week? And I can tell you, a lot of people, just week one, I mean, I didn't think that this was going to be one that really got talked about a lot, but a lot of people like the Transformers movie.
I'm not going to watch Transformers. I haven't watched the first 400, so.
Well, neither did I, but this is also kind of set more.
I still want to see The Boogeyman.
Oh, that's pre-sale. Dang it.
What? What was
that? Oppenheimer.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely July. Seeing that. Definitely seeing that.
There's no hard feelings. There's that. It's like a funny one.
That
with,
one.
With Jennifer Lawrence.
While funny, also.
But also, I don't think we should. You're going to be gone in Alaska where there's no movie theaters.
Yeah. So can we do something on streaming?
Yes. Yes, we can.
We can even go with a classic film if you want to do that. We could reach back into the file because we've got a bunch of those. Hold one as we. I can just see Ryan staring a hole through his computer right now, typing.
Yeah. Yes, you're scouring like, the what's new on Netflix lists right now to figure out what would be great.
Anytime I see someone like typing and like looking, all I can think of is not a serious movie part, but two different things. One from Liar Liar, where he's typing, Liar Liar, Bruce Almighty.
I love Bruce Almighty.
Where he's
it's a great meme. It's a great meme.
Yeah, it gets used everywhere, but the other one is from Super Troopers, where he's like, enhance.
Ooh, Clint Eastwood's The Mule was released on Netflix.
Did you see The Mule?
I didn't.
Wait a minute. Guess what's out? Yes, guess what's out?
You guys weren't fast enough.
Too bad. Guess what we're watching?
Oh no! 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 No!
Extraction 2.
I can't do another hour and a half.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
You know what? You know what, Haley? You rarely get to like be this excited about movies.
Yeah.
It's usually you have to.
Is it only because of Chris Hemsworth? That's it. It's only because of Chris Hemsworth. That's the only reason she's
saying. Her tastes in movies are very different than mine, and that's okay. There's plenty of things for everyone.
It's not Hubie Halloween, so okay. Yeah, Extraction 2. Yeah,
honestly, God, that was terrible.
All right, Extraction 2. And go to the hot take. Run.
Hot take!
I'm so excited, you guys.
Yikes. They already announced an Extraction 3 is coming out. Like before.
Why would you do this, Ryan?
Why?
Yes!
I said run. We already she got the W. Now run away.
You crossed the finish line, then you threw the baton back.
Yeah, like, you did. Exactly.
No, we Jokic'd it. Okay, we Jokic'd.
Dropped the ball at the goal line before you crossed the end zone.
Can I go last on this? Because
this is your hot take. And I honestly don't know what you're going to pick because I think it's between two things.
I'm so and curious if you...
I wonder if I've guessed it. I actually said I'm very intrigued to see what you and Ryan pick. So if you two want to go first...
I feel like mine's interesting.
So we have to clarify. We have to clarify really quickly.
Yes.
Star Wars, we're going to count the first three movies as its own trilogy because there was such amount of time. Or are you counting that full?
That is.
That's a trilogy.
They're split into three different trilogies.
Yeah. I also would then say Indiana Jones also can be its own trilogy because the fourth movie comes way after.
We're ignoring Crystal Skull.
And then whatever the new one is about to be. Yeah.
Aww.
Crystal Skull.
What is it? Not Wheel of Time. That's something else.
that's Link, isn't it?
God, no.
Ocarina of Time.
No, that's not what I was thinking of. There is a book called Wheel of Time, I believe. Crap.
We are calling those trilogies. They're true.
Okay. I'm here for that. Yeah. I'm here for that. The Star Wars, for sure. Like they even like Star Wars fans will tell you there's three different sets of three movies. So
wonderful.
Can you repeat the hot take for those that did not recall from last week? It is the second movie in the trilogy,
excluding Dark Knight, which we all would agree is probably the best of a three.
It's just too easy. It's a layup. So we want people to really go and vote on this one, especially since we didn't do a hot take last week. Excluding The Dark Knight from basically that trilogy of Batman movies. What is the best second film in a trilogy of all time? Like, which one is, like, the second film is just, oh my God, that was amazing.
Better than the first, and likely better. The third feels like a letdown because of it.
Or maybe not a letdown, but just
you're like, wow,
like,
this one was so much better. So great.
And boy, there are some interesting lists on the internet about this one. But I saw one of them. I was like, oh, that is way wrong.
Yep. Ryan, would you like to go first?
I'm happy to go first. And this also is personally resonating with my childhood because I had these trilogies, but this trilogy specifically on VHS. And so I was able to watch them individually from VHS tape to VHS tape. Without a doubt, the best second film in a trilogy of all time is The Empire Strikes Back in Star Wars. It is the first time we're introduced to Yoda, by the way, in the film series, who becomes one of the most critical pieces of any trilogy film of all time. There's action from start to finish. It is way better than the first film. There are so many storylines abound in this film from start to finish. It is, without question, the best second film in a trilogy of all time. And it keeps you on your seat all 2 hours from start to finish. I love this film. The depth into the Jedi training, the way that Luke is unable to control his anger. Like, I just love all of this film from start to finish. The Han Solo love story, it's great. Start to finish, Empire Strikes Back, best of a second film in a trilogy of all time.
An excellent pick, and a worthy contender.
I don't think anyone can argue that that's not a great pick. It's on every list that I looked up for this, and
it's fantastic.
Totally get it.
I'm really split. Haley, do you want to go?
Oh, speaking of split, mine's split. From the Unbreakable series.
Isn't that the third one, though?
No, Split is the second.
Glass was the third one.
This was obviously a trilogy that people didn't expect. And his character playing almost 19 different people and the story in this was absolutely unbelievable. Now, Glass was good, but this one was just, it just set the bar of the storyline throughout this whole.
But I can't pick that one. And I loved that movie, and I loved that it set up a trilogy that we didn't know we were going to get, because the way that they used that to then ramp into Glass was cool, because they brought back Bruce Willis from the first movie. That first movie is just...
Unbreakable is so good.
It's so good.
I don't know. I like Split better.
All right.
I think I know what you're choosing.
Go ahead.
Do I follow my heart, or do I follow trying to win the poll?
Well, I mean, look, if we were trying to win the poll, you wouldn't have excluded Dark Knight. You would have just gone with that and been
I think I won the poll. So might as well just go. I definitely won the poll. There's a lot of Star Wars.
See,
fans
and I was about to follow my heart, Ryan, but now I'm going to body
uh-oh.
Check you into the board.
Uh-oh.
So I wasn't going to do this one. I was actually going to do the other one, but because Ryan started doing his victory lap already, I'm going to choose Back to the Future 2,
yeah.
which is the better of the entire trilogy, but not the movie I was going to choose.
Man, I don't know. The first one to me is just... It's tough to beat.
It's great, but you get the hoverboard. You get all of the...
Also,
you
very
get the
interesting
domestic violence.
Very interesting.
Very
you bring
interesting
because
there's there is a reference to that in The Flash.
Great.
Yeah.
Not the one I was going to choose, Ryan, but your preemptive victory lap, just like the Miami Heat, needed to be stomped on.
Wow, we're getting personal on this. Okay, you're the last pick in the poll. Then we're going to bury you.
Unless that was what you're going to choose, in which case I'm happy to go back to my other one.
Nope. And I thought you were going to step on mine.
You are doing it. That's
I'm
not
going
even
to
fair.
Go
That's
to the
not
Spider-Man
even fair.
Trilogy. Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire. Because, look, do I think those are, like, individually one of my favorite Spider-Man movies? No. I think it would have to be Tom Holland, but also it would be the one where they bring back Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, just because of that. All of that was built and predicated upon that first trilogy of movie. The third one, shout out to Topher Grace in that 70s show. He had no business being Venom. That was a complete...
Also, the musical section no sense. Yeah, even
that was
these
unfortunate. Just him dancing. Dance move.
It's rough.
I'm sorry. No, the way Monsell, roll back the footage because he saw me looking at the Tobey Maguire on my phone, and he gave me that look of, oh no,
I
really?
Go with that one,
and it is on camera.
I 1,000%. You played yourself.
Set me up, and I was like, oh, is that a bad pick? Okay, I guess I'll pick Split.
Exactly.
It was between those two.
Okay, wait. I'm not done. Let me
go
finish.
Go away.
Yeah. So, Alfred Molina.
As Doc Ock.
Oh,
so good.
It's just so good, man. It's so good.
I love James Franco in this film. I thought James Franco was excellent in his role as Harry Osborn.
Yeah, but I think that the thing is, like, you sort of have him in the first film as well. That second film is just so awesome. And regardless of
who doesn't fall in love with Kirsten Dunst, by the way. You fall in love with Kirsten Dunst in this film, right?
And
if you
go back and watch those movies, those are the beginning of CGI.
Oh yeah,
it is.
Shout out Sam Raimi for
he made Lemonade out of lemons. When you go back and realize what his limitations were, not that it was by any means bad, but just like the way that you can move things around in CGI now versus then, you know, leaves something to be desired. But that is my pick. That is the thing that I think is going to take it over the top, because while a lot of people would agree with you about Star Wars, a lot of people that love Star Wars are going to love the fourth and sixth movies, or the first and third, however you want to phrase it, from that. You are going to have people, I think, that like Unbreakable better than Split. You are going to have
Back to the Future too. People ride hard.
They do. And I totally get why you went there. But to me, if you put like me on the spot, it would be the first one. So
just be happy I didn't go with my third choice.
What was, I'm afraid to ask. What was
there's some
Austin
really...
Powers, the spy who shagged me.
That's a good one, though. I like
that trilogy.
Movies.
People forget
I like
that.
Those movies.
We have some important omissions from this list, because I made a massive list on my own.
Yeah, and there's some weird ones out there too, like Kung Fu Panda 2.
I saw that on lists. I wasn't into that. Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah,
would have been a good one.
Yeah.
Lord of the Ring: Two Towers.
It's Return of the King, though.
Oh, I think Two Towers is way better than Return
really?
Of the King. One that I thought Haley was going to do, but she did not. It was right there for you. Captain America: Winter Soldier. You didn't even think about it,
no,
did you?
No, so we had a conversation about this, and we were like, do we consider...
Those are three Captain America movies. It's Captain America, First Avenger, Captain America: Winter Soldier, and Civil War.
But then
do we consider
would you go...
Civil War... why can't I talk? Civil War. Would you consider that just a Captain America movie?
It is Captain America: Civil War. That is by definition.
Yeah, but then on top of that, if you're including that one, now you have just an absolutely incredible film that also has a bunch of your other favorite characters from the universe in it. So how do you pick the second one?
I completely agree. I know. I get it. Godfather 2, which I thought someone was going to pick.
Yeah, I get that.
Blade 2is my runner-up.
And the one that I wanted to choose until Ryan started doing his victory lap, D2 the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, the knuckle puck.
Yeah.
Oh,
against
Lord.
Team Iceland. That's where my heart wanted to go, Ryan, but you forced my hand.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go with Stuart Little 2 from the Stuart Little trilogy.
Mm. Tempting, but...
As always, thank you guys for listening to The Cloud with Chris Young. From me, Ryan, Josh, and Haley, we love y'all. Make sure to go vote on this one. This is a big poll. And as long as it's not Ryan. And we're out! See, it just goes with the
anyone but Ryan.
Yeah.
What? Anyone but Ryan.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Anyone but Ryan.
Hey. 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 Anyone but Ryan. Hey. Hey.